This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. How many times have you witnessed someone who has collapsed and stood by wishing you had the training to give CPR? Well, according to new guidelines from the American Heart Association, there is no reason now not to take action. If you see an adult collapse and you aren't trained in CPR or you aren't confident that you can perform CPR correctly, you can do this sort of stripped-down version called hands-only CPR, where you do just the chest compressions. The Heart Association says hands-only CPR can save lives. These new guidelines might spur people who are reluctant to do mouth-to-mouth breathing on a stranger to take action or just feel like they may make the situation worse. Joining me now to talk more about it is my guest, Mary Hazinski. She's a clinical nurse specialist in pediatric emergency and critical care at Vanderbilt's Children's Hospital in Nashville. She's also a senior science editor at the American Heart Association. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Thank you very much, Ira.
Tell us about this hands-only CPR.
Well, hands-only CPR is, as you said, a simple way to provide some resuscitation for adult victims of sudden collapse. So if you see an adult collapse suddenly, you either call 911 or send somebody to do it. And if you're untrained or unsure of your CPR skills, you can just start chest compressions. Put one hand down the middle of the chest between the nipple line, put the second hand on top, and push hard and push fast.
Mm-hmm. Does this work better than regular CPR with the mouth-to-mouth included?
Well, there has not been a head-to-head prospective study published yet of comparing the two methods of CPR. So, but studies have suggested that chest compression only is equivalent to conventional CPR for adults with sudden collapse.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm reading in an article here from The Lancet, which concludes that standard cardiac-only resuscitation is equivalent or superior to conventional bystander CPR in adult patients.
Well, in that study, in the overall study, with the test that the researchers applied, there was no difference in survival with compression-only versus conventional CPR. The superiority was only found in what we refer to as a post hoc analysis, so it was after the fact trying to tease out if there was a difference in a subgroup of patients. In research, that sort of analysis is considered preliminary and it's not considered final. In addition, there have been a couple studies published since that study in Japan that have shown equivalence, but in all of the studies, they were done with what we call a historic control. So they looked at past outcomes of CPR when the victims received bystander CPR based on old guidelines. Mm-hmm. So we know that they have not been compared to head-to-head yet. There's not been a study published. And we know that in 2005, there was a big overhaul of the CPR guidelines with emphasis on good chest compression and an overhaul of the training material to emphasize better chest compression.
1-800-989-8255 is our number if you'd like to talk about the CPR. Also in Second Life, you can go to Science Friday Island there and talk to us via your avatar. You say there was that overhaul in 2005. Why newer guidelines now just a few years later?
Well, these guidelines were published for a couple reasons. One, we knew that still less than 30% of victims of cardiac arrest were receiving any form of bystander CPR. We know CPR works and can double or triple survival from cardiac arrest, and yet bystanders were hesitating to act. When actual bystanders were questioned on why they didn't act, the most common reason was that they were afraid of doing something wrong. So we felt that we really had to reassure bystanders that doing something was better than doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And then there were a couple of studies published that showed that against a historic control, compression-only CPR produced equivalent survival to conventional CPR. So the science advisory was issued for bystander CPR for adults who collapse suddenly.
So give us a little ABCs of someone who may be in a shopping mall or whatever and sees someone else collapse. What would give us the sequence we should do here?
If you see someone collapse, suddenly and they're unresponsive, you should either call 911 if you're alone or send someone to call 911. And then if you're untrained or you're trained and not confident in your skills in compression and ventilation, you should compress only. And that means put one heel of your hand in the center of the victim's chest between the nipple line, put the second heel on top. It's best when you're kneeling to kneel with your shoulders over your hand so that you can push straight down. You push hard and push fast. It's almost impossible with an adult victim for you to push too hard, and you should push at a rate of 100 times per minute. We've often said that that's to the beat of Staying Alive, the Bee Gees song. So it's 100 compressions a minute. You keep doing those compressions until either the victim starts to move or an AED arrives with other rescuers that can help, or trained rescuers arrive and take over the care of the victim.
1-800-989-8255. John in Janesville, Wisconsin. Hi, John.
Hey. Hi, Ira.
Hi there.
I'm so excited to hear this on the radio, and I'm hoping Dr. Kellum here in town is listening, too.
Have you got a comment for us?
What's that?
Have you got a question for us?
No, just a comment. The caller is citing, and I guess rightly, she's citing how there's no particular difference in studies so far with survival rates. But we've been doing compression-only CPR in Rock and Walworth County for about 2 years now. And real cardiac arrests that fall within the study, we're getting 74% of those people walking out of the hospital that are getting good bystander compressions and compression-only CPR. And I'm here to tell you, these people, versus what we used to do with overventilating people and decreasing the amount of refill into their hearts, these people are pinking up. And if there's any amount of oxygen left in their brains, they're having really good neurological outcomes.
So I take it that you're a paramedic then?
I am.
Your results are consistent with those that we've been hearing from EMS systems all over the country since the production of the 2005 guidelines. There's just no question that previous guidelines did not emphasize compression sufficiently. And so in re-educating paramedics and providers about the importance of chest compression, we are seeing dramatic improvements in survival from sudden cardiac arrest. So
well, that, just as important, though, is even when we are able to get an advanced airway in, it's part of our big push or what we're really trying to do is decreasing the severity and frequency of respirations once that airway is made, because we're really finding that it's decreasing the refill on the heart, and we're losing ground every time somebody pushes real hard and takes up space in that chest.
Right. There's no question that the emphasis on minimizing interruption in chest compression since 2005 has been on the right track, and it's really making a difference in survival. This hands-only CPR, I want to be sure that we don't confuse the listeners. The hands-only CPR recommendation is for bystanders in the pre-hospital setting who witness adult sudden cardiac collapse. It does not apply to infants and children and does not apply to adult victims who have a respiratory cause of arrest, because they don't have as much oxygen in the blood at the time of the arrest, and we think they need the combination of compression and ventilation. And right now the American Heart Association still recommends conventional CPR for healthcare providers, especially in the hospital, but we're gathering more data all the time.
We're running out of time. I want to ask you, Mayor, one last question if I have time. What about people who are afraid of hurting? I'm going to break his breastbone. I'm going to break a rib if I press too hard, something like
that. That's a great point. And good compressions may result in rib fractures, but it's very important to know that when somebody collapses and they're in cardiac arrest, they are dying, and they will likely die if you don't intervene. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to make things worse than death. Something's better than doing nothing, and you may save a life.
And how much survival rate has it changed? What can we expect?
Well, we hope that if we can get twice as many people, bystanders, to do CPR, if we can get twice as many victims to have bystander CPR, we think we can save tens of thousands of lives.
Is there any kind of campaign that you'll be going on to let people know about this?
Oh, absolutely. There's a campaign, and you can go online to AmericanHeart.org/hands-only CPR. We'd also like to encourage people to learn CPR. You can obtain a kit with your own mannequin, and you can learn from a DVD in less than 30 minutes in the comfort of your own home.
Let me ask a question from Second Life. Jasmine asks, how long can compression-only CPR be given before you need to ventilate?
Well, we're gathering data on that. We think that compression only is very effective for the first minutes of CPR. Certainly, we think for about the first 3 to 4 minutes after adult cardiac arrest, and maybe effective for the first 5 or 6 minutes. And hopefully by then, trained rescuers will arrive. But we still need more data, and we're gathering that.
And Laura from Second Life also asked something I think a lot of us are thinking that makes sense. Are two bystanders doing CPR together better than one?
Well, continuous chest compressions and giving effective chest compressions is tiring. So if rescuers can relieve one another every couple minutes, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And as far as opening the airway first, don't think about that. Just go right into the compressions?
Well, again, if rescuers are untrained or they're unsure of their skills, bystanders should go to compression. If a rescuer is trained and confident in the skills, they can either do conventional CPR, which would include opening the airway and giving breath, or they could do compression-only CPR.
Mm-hmm. And you think this will help people who more or less would like to do something, but they're afraid?
We think this will make it easier, and we're hoping to encourage people to act. The action, doing something, is better than doing nothing.
Well, Mary, I want to wish you luck, and thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Ira, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate being with you today.
You're very welcome. Mary Fran Hazinski is a clinical nurse specialist in pediatric emergency and medical critical care at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital in Nashville. She's also a senior science editor at the American Heart Association. We're going to take a break and change gear, and we're going to talk about the secret world of soil. Researchers have found hundreds of soil bacteria that actually eat antibiotics. You'd think the antibiotics would kill the bacteria, right? No. They eat them for lunch and grow and thrive. And we'll find out what this means. Should we be afraid? What does this mean about, you know, disease-resistant bacteria? We'll talk about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.